Take your Bibles. We've got two short readings this morning. And firstly, to Genesis chapter 1. So right near the start of your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. So Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Let's listen to God's word. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Please then turn on in your Bibles to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians 6, in the Black Church Bibles, that's page 955. So 1 Corinthians 6, I'll read verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. God, our Father, we thank you for your good word to us today and pray that you would do it in us, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Keep 1 Corinthians 6 open if you would. Two young fish were swimming in a river. Here they go. An older fish swam past in the other direction, and he said to them, "How's the water today?" The two fish kept on swimming, and then one turns and says to the other, "What's water?" Now, sometimes we need to stop and look at what we are swimming in. Notice what is all around us, but perhaps we have never noticed. Sporadically in Sunday preaching over the last few months, we've been covering some Christian basics, the building blocks of following the Lord Jesus Christ, if you like. And we're going to spend two Sundays, Lord willing, this Sunday and next Sunday, effectively the Sundays either side of the half-term week, listening to God's answer to two of the most basic questions. What are you and why are you here? What are you and why are you here? There is water all around us that is full of answers to those questions that we imbibe, absorb through our gills, if you want to run with the fish metaphor. Answers that seem incredibly natural. Perhaps we're not even aware that they're around us and perhaps even in us. So what we're going to resolve to do with the Lord's help is listen to him and to his word, the Bible. Now, this pair of sermons, slightly different to what we normally do. So ordinarily, for most of the year, we simply preach our way through sequential sections in a book of the Bible, you know, expository preaching. These sermons are going to be more doctrinal, drawing on the whole Bible. But today we're going to be mainly looking at those two texts which we just read, which are two very important texts, which in different ways connect with what the whole Bible has got to say, the big picture about what are you and why are you here. And there's an outline up on the screen. Here's our first big heading. We exist to bring glory to God. That's what Paul says, doesn't it? In verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 6, glorify God. It's what we exist for. And that's right, because God is glorious. It's kind of basics of life in this universe. There is an infinitely, never-endingly glorious being, and it isn't you or me. Our one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is glorious. He is weighty. That's what the Old Testament word for glory means. He is the truly substantial one upon whom you can lean and build, and everything else, well, it's a bit like dust, ultimately. It's frothy, it's light, it blows away. We find that glory in his wisdom and his power and his goodness, and he reveals it, doesn't he? It kind of overflows, it pours out of him. In creation, I don't know which bit of God's creation you have most recently had your breath taken away by. The heavens declare the glory of God, and actually so does every little corner of his creation. But also in salvation, in bringing people like you and me to know him. And the New Testament would tell us, for example, Jesus in John chapter 12 would say, if you want to search out glory, you go to the cross. God is glorious. And of all his creatures, you know, they range, don't they, from rocks and amoeba through to angels. Of all of his creatures, we human beings are especially made to bring glory to God. It's part of our unique job. All creation reveals something about God. Paul says that, doesn't he, in Romans chapter 1. His eternal nature, his power, you can see it in everything that he's made, from a mountain range to a thunderstorm, but there is something unique about we human creatures. The Lord says, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we, all of us, we are made like God in a way that no other creature is. And we were made like God to reveal something about God. Think about a mirror. Think about what a mirror does. There is an object and there is an image. You know, the mirror reflects the image, the object. So, how did God design things to be? Well, as men and women rule the world on God's behalf, under him, obeying his word, being like Jesus, so we function, or we were designed to function, like mirrors, reflecting some of his goodness, his wisdom, his power. Now, we live in the world after the fall, don't we? We struggle to reflect the glory of God. Imagine it, it's like one of those dreadful Zoom calls that goes wrong. You've got grandma on the video call, and then the dreaded message comes up, you know, bandwidth insufficient. And the result is, well, it's grandma or it's Uncle Fred or whoever it is, they break up on the screen, don't they? Or they go jagged around the edges, or they just freeze in a really unflattering and slightly distorted pose. And that's about like us, a bit like us, isn't it? We struggle to be true image bearers. We struggle to be true glory reflectors. Why? Well, sin. Or you could say, we struggle because of the water. The water that is around us and that we absorb into us, in which we swim. Perhaps uniquely in human history, we're distracted. Gadgets and data and communication and social media, we get sucked into things that are lightweight. If God is heavy, we so easily just get absorbed into that which is nothing. We're also incredibly self-obsessed, aren't we? I know that I am. Almost don't really need to illustrate that point. In so many ways, we make so much of ourselves. From the fall onwards, perhaps now more than ever, there's this pervasive belief that I deserve special treatment. And boy, does that tarnish the glory of God reflector that I am supposed to be. And that just reflects the deepest of all our problems. We create false gods. So even, you know, most of us here were Christian people, not all, but most of us, we've been brought by the Holy Spirit to love Jesus, but we are still tempted daily to what the Bible calls idolatry. We're built to worship something. All human beings have to worship something. It's just how we are. We have to be devoted to something. And it is so tempting, isn't it, even for Christian people to devote ourselves to things that we shouldn't. Different ways in which really we seek to love ourselves and make much of ourselves. And so we erect a whole array of idols. Maybe we pursue sex, or we binge watch box sets because we worship the idol of feeling good. Or we work too hard. Or we find it hard to share because we worship the god of wanting more stuff. Or maybe we find it impossible to say no when someone asks us to do something. Or maybe we tell lies because we worship the god which is, I want people to like me. You see, we're idol factories, aren't we? But remember, not just idol factories, but that is in the water. That's the default position of the water in which we are swimming. So it's a challenge, isn't it? When we hear the Bible say to us, we are made to bring God glory. Now, we know when we're in our right minds that that makes sense. We know that living for all of that other stuff, it cannot and it will not satisfy, as well as living like that dishonors Jesus. We know that one day we'll see Jesus as he is, and we will be transformed such that we can appreciate and enjoy that glory perfectly and forever. And boy, do I look forward to that day. But in the meanwhile, it's a daily battle, isn't it? So the simple application of our first point, Christian, you have one job. What's the chief end of man? It is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, younger people in the room, maybe you're a child through to a sixth form, or maybe a couple of students, you have got an overwhelming array of choices in life in front of you. From what should I study at school? Should I go to college or university? What kind of job should I look for? Should I pursue a relationship with someone and look to get married? With whom should I look, etc., etc., etc.? Over and above it all, you've got one goal. One goal, one end, one purpose, which kind of helps everything else to fit in and come out in the wash. Your chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that means, on the one hand, with the Spirit's help, resolving to say no to pleasing yourself in all of those and every other area. You know, that's the water we swim in, isn't it? Please yourself. And on the other hand, positively, with the Spirit's help, I resolve to please Jesus in all I am and do. And that's not just for people making big decisions at the start of their lives. That's for us all. I mean, following Jesus, it's not a part-time activity, is it? My chief end in all things, to glorify him. Well, let's go on. Second, we are called to glorify God in our bodies. Did you see in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20? That's what Paul says at the end of verse 20. Glorify God in your body. Imagine for a moment you have a DIY job to do. You want to build something. What tools will you need to get the job done? So just apropos of nothing in particular, I'm still thinking about getting myself a reciprocating saw. I just mentioned that casually. Now, what about us? What do we need to get this job done? This job that we are called to do of bringing glory to God. What has God given to us that we might bring him glory? And the answer is, God has given to each of us a body and a soul. Now, when you look at Paul's command there, do you see in the end of verse 20, glorify God in your body? You can't see the word soul there, can you? You can just see the word body. But that command only makes sense if you are a you that possesses a body but isn't identical with it. He doesn't say, for example, bodies glorify God. He says, you glorify God in your body. Now, it's really important that we understand who we are. Not just to avoid the pain and the grief that is floating in the water around us, but more than that, so we know how best to bring God glory. So just for a moment, we're just going to step back and consider what is taught about us in the whole Bible, and which down the Christian centuries has been reinforced and believed by the church fathers in the early church or the reformers in the Reformation. You have a soul. And in the Bible, we see that described using words like soul, heart, mind, will. That is an entity that's not physical, isn't a body, but which can hear things and understand and make choices and feel. You have a soul and you have a body. And in fact, the Bible says that a human is a body and soul. Put lots of dashes in between those words. Or you could say we are an embodied soul, or we're an ensouled body. Those two things go together. Everything we do as humans, soul and body acting together. So think for a moment. You are sitting down. Now just think about that for a minute. You are sitting down. Well, your body is sitting, but we still say, rightly, you are sitting. The future for you and me, the death of the body, the soul of a Christian goes to be with Christ, but that is not the end of the story. The general resurrection granted a new and glorious body. Now, why does this matter? Like I said a moment ago, both that we might avoid so much pain and grief that comes from not understanding what we are. But we also need to know what you are, what I am, that we might glorify God, because he wants all of us. He wants all of us. He wants us body and soul. We're not just bodies. We're not just complicated machines. Some people believe that's the case, don't they? We're not just fancy animals. No. We have a soul, and we do things like love and hate. We reason and we choose and we worship. And the soul, well, from the moment of conception, endures forever. But we're not just souls. So many folks nowadays, particularly in our part of the world, want to downgrade the body, as if to say there is a real you and it's got nothing to do with your body. This is just a hunk of meat. Now, if we'd read around our passage in 1 Corinthians 6, and by the way, Lord willing, in September, we're going to start preaching through the whole of 1 Corinthians. But if we'd read around the passage, we'd have seen there was a problem in the Corinthian church. They'd kind of absorbed the idea that the body doesn't matter. It is just a hunk of meat. So, for example, it doesn't matter what you do with it. If you join yourself with a prostitute, no big deal. No. Body and soul given by God to glorify him. He wants all of you. And when we look at his commands, we read the Ten Commandments prior to confessing our sins. All of his commands require body and soul working together. Just take one of the commands. You can do this with all of them. Take the seventh commandment, adultery. don't commit adultery. Positively, be faithful in your covenant relationships, especially to your spouse if you have one. It requires heart and mind and affections, doesn't it? A resolution of the heart to be loyal. But it is then expressed with our words and with our bodies, using it to serve and love, not to betray. Or when Jesus says, turn the other cheek, just take a command like that. Think about what that means. How does a Christian obey that command to turn the other cheek? It's a heart attitude, isn't it? It's a disposition of the soul. I'm not going to hate this person who is hating and hurting me. Indeed, I'm going to put myself in a place where I may even suffer further damage or harm out of love for them. It involves the body. Think about all of God's commands in that way. So here is the question. Will you give all of you to Jesus? Third, in our bodies, we glorify God as male and as female. Just listen again to Genesis 1. Why don't we pop that up on the screen, actually? I think I've got that somewhere there. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we're digging more deeply here into what it means when Paul can say, glorify God in your body. What does that mean? And what he says there is not unusual in the Bible. It connects with the whole Bible's picture of what it means to be you and me, to be a human. God has designed all of his images to be either a male image or a female image. There's no other kind of image of God. There's no other kind of human. There's an unchanging and fixed order of creation with this specific purpose in mind to reflect the glory of God. Now, we've said that we are both bodies and souls inseparably joined together, at least before death, and on into glory. And those bodies constitute who we are. Now, your body, my body, it's not just a container for your soul, the shape of which is irrelevant, but it's a gift from God that helps determine who you are, whether you're a man or a boy, whether you're a girl or a woman. We are all either he or she. We're never an it. And your body, it is a gift from God that shows how you will bring him glory. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Glorify God in your body. Now, to our girls and our women, praise God that he has made you a girl or a woman. He wants you to bring him glory as a woman with both body and soul. Will you? To our boys and our men, praise God that he has made you boys and men. He wants you to bring him glory as a man with both body and soul. Will you? Now, sometimes it is very hard to receive God's gifts with thanksgiving. Sometimes we find ourselves a bit like Asaph in our psalm. I really wish I wasn't a Christian. It's kind of what Psalm 73 boils down to. It's very hard sometimes to receive God's gifts with thanks. It's the result of the fall, isn't it? The fall means that we sin and we suffer. Sometimes our bodies do not work as they ought. And it's very hard, different ones of us in different ways, to be thankful for how we are physically. For some people, very rarely, that includes even disorders of sexual development. Affects parts of the body that are distinctive to being either a man or a woman. It's one of many struggles. Sometimes, and we all know this, our desires and our feelings are faulty. We feel like we want to be something we're not or do something that isn't for us to do. And we need to take very seriously those faulty bodies and faulty feelings. The Bible takes them seriously, and Lord willing, next week. We're going to think a little bit more about why godliness in the body is a problem and also how the Lord has acted to solve that problem. But let me tell you the place from which we face up to our sin and our suffering, and it's here. With the Spirit's help, I am called to steward my body and my soul as a man for the glory of God. So all of you men and boys, that's God's call to you. With the Spirit's help, you're called to steward your body and your soul as a man for the glory of God. And if you're a woman or a girl, with the Spirit's help, you are called to steward your body and your soul as a woman for the glory of God. And it's right that we do that because we are twice owned by the Lord. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, the very end of the sentence. We're kind of working our way backwards very slowly through that verse. I wonder if you noticed. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Now, next week, we're going to think more what it means that the Christian is purchased. So we belong to the Lord, firstly, by virtue of being a creature. We are not our own. But perhaps even more precious than that, Christian man or woman, boy or girl, you have been bought, purchased, owned, possessed by the precious blood of Jesus. And that is a good and a precious thing. So Lord willing, next week, how to glorify God in the body, given our frailties, given we're people who have been bought by Jesus. Remember our fish swimming in the river. Remember the water that you swim in, and you don't even notice that it's there. What's water? The water around us says, you are your own. Decide what you are and what you do. Can I encourage you this week? Spot the water. You'll see it in so many ways and places. I don't really need them to describe where. Identify it. Point it out to someone. Just simply say, this is water. You could do that, couldn't you? But for the Christian man or woman, boy or girl, well, here's God's truth. Just listen one more time to those words from 1 Corinthians 6, and then I'm going to pray for us. But listen to God's word. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Let's pray. God our Father, we praise you for your amazing love for us. Praise you for the dignity that you bestow upon us all. As image bearers, we want to confess our sins, that we do not think and feel or act as we ought. We also want to lament our many weaknesses, and we thank you both for forgiveness and also for compassion and patience. Teach us, we pray, perhaps some of us for the first time, many of us for the umpteenth time, what it is to glorify the Lord Jesus as the people you have made us, in big things, in small things, be we near the start of our lives or approaching the end, we desire to live for your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.